Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon, Ohio, with Pastor Lance Wise. I want to take just a moment and invite you to attend one of our services in person. We gather Sundays at 10:30, and all are welcome. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website, havenheightsbaptist.org, or see us on Facebook. I was in the second grade, but I remember it like it was yesterday. Over the PA system, I heard, "Lance Wise, would you please come to the principal's office?" Now, I knew what that meant. I knew the command, and I knew it only went out when kids were in trouble. Now, I knew of Mr. Sullivan, but I didn't know him. And I didn't know him for good reason. The only kids that knew Mr. Sullivan were those who spent time with him. Time with him in his office. And now over the PA system, he wanted to see me. And so with fear and trepidation, I step into his office. And as I go in, Mr. Sullivan looks over his massive desk. And without even standing, he says, "You can stand right there." So I'm standing right there, and I'm waiting for him to speak. And as I'm waiting, I look around the room. And hanging on his wall is a wooden paddle. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I know that he means business. And then he speaks. And he says that my behavior is going to stop right quick. And he says, "We don't tolerate bullies in this school." And he says, "If you don't change, and right now, this school is going to be pretty miserable for you." And then by God's grace, it becomes clear he'd gotten the wrong kid. He sends me back to class. I get in the hallway, and I just start bawling. I had come face to face with the big guy, and he meant business. We've been going through the book of Exodus. And in chapter 19, God calls his people to Mount Sinai. He calls them into his presence. And before he speaks, the people look around. And the mountain is covered in darkness, lightning and thunder. The mountain is on fire, and thick smoke is billowing from the top. And they know that God means business. And God literally says to them, "You stand right there, no closer, no further." And then God speaks, and he gives them the Ten Commandments. And he says, "This is what you will do, and this is what you won't do." And just like me in the second grade in the principal's office, they were scared to death. They had come face to face with God, and he meant business. And unlike my situation, God had gotten the exact right people, and they were guilty. They had broken the rules. And this is where we pick up the story. Exodus 20, verse 18. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. And they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that you will fear God, and so that it will keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this: you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. Make an altar of earth for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build on it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar on steps, so your private parts may be exposed. For those taking notes this morning, two simple points to guide our time. Number one, our God speaks. And then number two, we must respond. So first, our God speaks. We've been going through the book of Exodus, and we've just completed nearly 3 months of looking at the Ten Commandments. 10 spoken words from God on how his people are to live. Commandment number one, God said, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, do not make idols. Number three, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number four, keep the Sabbath day holy. Number five, honor your father and mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Seven, do not commit adultery. Eight, you shall not steal. Nine, you shall not lie. 10, do not covet. God spoke. This is how you are to live. And as God is speaking, verse 18, there is lightning and thunder, and a trumpet is blaring. The mountain is on fire. It is covered in thick darkness, and the earth is shaking. God's voice is accompanied by sheer terror. It's unmistakable. This is God, and he is speaking. And so verse 18 is really no surprise at all. They keep their distance. They say, we're not going to go near this God. We know better than to approach him, and not without good reasons, for they had just broken the commands that God is speaking of. And they know that God is serious. It's worth mentioning that if you read the book of Revelation, God's judgment is accompanied by fire, smoke, thunder, lightning, trumpets, earthquakes. They understand the scenery, and they get the point. We need to be careful not to break these rules again, because this God who is speaking is deadly serious. And so they say to Moses, verse 19, can you just tell God to stop speaking? And they say, you know, we can't keep the Ten Commands as they are. And if these commands just keep coming, we're only going to be in more trouble. And so can you please tell God to just stop? That's enough. We don't need to hear any more from God. Now, Moses, if you want to speak to us, that's fine. But no more from the one who is in the fire, surrounded by darkness with flashes of thunder and lightning, who makes the earth tremble. Please, no more words from him. And so Moses goes up the mountain. And Moses asks the Lord, what should I say to these people? And God tells Moses, verse 20, you tell them this, do not be afraid, God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. It's called doublespeak when someone says two contradictory things in the same sentence. And doesn't this sound like a textbook example of doublespeak? Listen again to what Moses says in verse 20. You don't need to be afraid of God. He's only come so that you will fear him. You don't need to be afraid of him. You know, just fear him. So what does that mean? Don't be afraid of God. Just fear him. To make sense of this, we have to remember that these are God's people. God has rescued them from Egypt. He sent the plagues on not them, but the Egyptians. The plagues didn't harm them, only their enemy. And then the Passover, God told them to kill a lamb and to paint the doorframe with its blood. And then by the blood of the lamb, God passed over their sins, but he did not pass over the sins of the Egyptians. And then he split the Red Sea, and the people of God walked through as though on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to pass through, God closed the waters over them, and they were drowned. In the wilderness, the people of God cry out for food, and God sends them bread from heaven. And they cry out, "We are thirsty," and God gives them water from a rock. Moses says, "Don't be afraid, because this God is not against you. Just remember your history. Remember all that God has done for you." And yet, you must fear him. You must take him as deadly serious as he is. This one day, a gentleman came into my office and he asked me, "What do you think is the biggest problem in the church?" Now, not this local church per se, but with the church in America. And he was asking me, "Why is there so much lukewarmness? Or why do so many people who make professions of faith commit the very sins of the world?" His question was, what's going on with the church in America? Why is the church not, you know, more like the church is supposed to be? Now, how would you answer that question? I'll tell you how I answered that question. I said, by and large, we no longer fear the Lord. We know that God is for us. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And all those in him have been adopted as his sons and daughters. And he has sent the Spirit to testify, "Abba, Father." And neither height nor depth nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. We know that God is for us. And we rightly know that God does not want to bring harm for us. But that's not the problem. The problem is, by and large, we don't fear him. And by and large, we do not take him as serious. And truth be told, we have reduced God to a poor, pitiful Savior who is just begging us, "Will you accept me? Do you think it'd be okay if I just came into your life? I kind of like you. Would you just want anything to do with me?" And we have forgotten that our God is the Lion of Judah, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The great I am. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the one who set the stars in place and calls them by name. It is he who gives light and life to all mankind. He sends the lightning bolts and gives the horse its grace and makes the eagle soar. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the creator, the sustainer, the redeemer, and our master. He is God, and he has spoken. And because he is God, and because he has spoken, we must respond. Second, we must respond. And we must respond because he commands it. And he commands three ways for us to respond. He says we ought to respond in truth, humility, and purity. Moses goes up the mountain, and God tells Moses exactly how his people are to respond. He says, verse 23, "Do not make any gods to go be beside me." God says they can't make an idol. And they can't make a false god. because they know me, the one true God. God tells his people, I've spoken, and I'm real. They know the only true God, and I am he. No idols. No false gods. And God tells them, because God knows that before they even leave the mountain, they will take off their gold, take off their bands and their earrings, and they will throw their gold into a fire, and they will fashion a golden calf, and they will say, this idol is now our God. And the whole thing is absolutely shocking. They've experienced the one true God. The mountain was shaking, consumed in fire. The trumpet was blaring. The thunder was deafening. The smoke was so thick they could taste it. They know the truth. They know there is yet one God. And yet they make an idol. And don't miss the God they made. Their idol didn't speak, didn't give them any commands to follow. Their idol was harmless. No fire, no smoke, no shaking, no fear. Their idol did nothing, wanted nothing, required nothing, and this is the God they wanted. They made a God whom they wanted in the place of the one true God. And oh, how easy it is to do this. And we can think things like, God doesn't really care about my continued unrepented sin because I do so many other good deeds. And we reject that God has said, you be holy because I'm holy. We can think, you know, my sin is probably okay because so many of the commands in that book are antiquated. You know, they're just out of date, out of touch. Even though he has said, I am not a man that I should change my mind. All too often, and all too easy, we make our God out to be whom we want, a God who is okay when we reject his truth. And he says to all of his people, you respond to me as I am. You respond to me in truth. Respond to him in truth and respond to him in humility. Look at verse 24. God says, make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings, your fellowship offerings, your sheep and your goats and your cattle. God commands them, you need to worship me. And to worship me, you need to make an altar. He commands them to make the altar out of earth. And he specifically says, verse 25, no dressed stones. God says, you don't need to make any fancy stones. Now, I know that you can do that. I know that you guys have great skills. I know that you guys built the pyramids, but we don't need any fancy stones. All I want you to do is just take the earth and just push up the earth and to make a berm, and we'll call that an altar. I know you guys built the pyramids, but just push up the earth. And God is saying, your worship is not about skill, but about your heart. And then he says, no steps going up this altar. No steps. And that sounds weird, but do you remember in Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel? And in Genesis 11, these people think that they build a tower, that they're going to be able to get to God, that they're going to be on the same level as God. And God says, no steps. Because you don't come to me. You can never reach me. In fact, you guys are so sinful that you need to offer a sacrifice. And don't miss the point of a sacrifice. The sacrifice reminds us that there's nothing we can even do about our sin. And the sacrifice is a statement. You can't do anything about your problem. Something else or someone else is going to have to take care of that for you. You can't do anything about your sin. And so go get something else that can and offer a sacrifice. And it's clear, worship is not about reaching up to God, but about being brought low. The altar is all about humility. God says it's not about your skill, it's about your heart, and it's not about reaching up, it's about being brought low. And so let's ask the question, why are you here this morning? Why are we here? Perhaps we think that our attendance will somehow earn God's favor. But it won't. God's favor is only earned through the sacrifice of Christ. Or perhaps we think that our service here will somehow lift us up to God, that we'll somehow be closer to Him. But it's not that. Because we don't go up to God, God comes down to us. Or perhaps we think, you know, there's something about the dressed stone of the building, the pew, or the pulpit. This place somehow changes my worship to make it acceptable. But it's not that. Because God wants our heart, not our skill. We ought to come to church in humble dependence, believing that when God's people gather, God shows up. That's why we come. We recognize that throughout the Bible, when God's people gather, that's when God moves. And we ought to come in humble dependence. I need Him more than I need anything. God says, you respond to me in truth. You respond to me in humility. And then third, purity. Back to these steps to the altar, God says no steps. And He says, verse 26, if you build these steps, your private parts will be revealed when you walk up. Now to make sense of this, we have to know something of their culture. They wore these long tunics that were far more like dresses than like our pants. And we have to know something of their neighboring communities. And for their neighbors, their religion was always commingled with sexual perversion. And the sexual perversion in worship was a way to get just a little more excitement, just a little more interest, to whet the appetite. And God says no to that. And God says no to sexual perversion because He says, I am enough. You see, those on the mountain who saw the fire and the smoke and the lightning and the thunder, they didn't need any more excitement. And they were not losing interest. And their appetite wanted nothing more. You see, when God shows up, it's always enough. And by the way, This is why we don't do the fog machines and the lasers and the videos and the dance teams and all the rest. It's not because we're lazy. It's because when God shows up, He is more than all we need. God spoke and God said, "This is how you will respond to me. You will respond in truth, humility, and purity." It's an incredible scene. The mountain is on fire, shaking, storms, earthquakes, the blaring of a trumpet, hearing the voice of God. And just maybe we say, well, of course they should have responded. And you know, if God spoke to me like that, I'd like to think I'd respond too. This past week, I was meeting with a friend who's an unbeliever. He's told me more than once, if God were to just show up, or if God were to just speak to me, then I would respond to him. Maybe you've heard that. Or maybe you've even thought that yourself. If God were simply to show up and speak like he did to them, then I would respond to him. In our scripture reading, Matthew 17, Jesus goes up another mountain. Some 1,500 years later, it's not the same mountain, it's another mountain. They're on Mount Sinai, and Jesus goes up to Mount Tabor. And he goes up Mount Tabor with Peter, James, and John. And Peter, James, and John watch as Jesus is transfigured before them. Jesus becomes dazzling white. His clothes are shining like the sun. They are seeing God face to face, and they hear God speak. And oh, how many people have said, if only God were to speak to me like that today. If I could have been on Mount Sinai, or better still, if I could have been on Mount Tabor and seen Jesus shining like the sun, if God spoke to me like that today, I would respond to him. After that encounter, after Peter sees Jesus shining like the sun, and sees his clothes dazzling white, after coming face to face with God, after that experience, Peter writes 2 Peter 1:19. On the mountain we heard God speak, and yet we have a word more certain. Peter says, this book is the certain word of God. Peter says, I was there on the mountain, and God was shining like the sun, and his clothes were dazzling white, and yet you want to know what God has to say, and you want to hear God speak? It's in the book. It's in the book. You want to be dead certain that our God has spoken? Peter says, open your Bible. God has spoken. And he has spoken to us this hour. And the question is, will we respond?
You've been listening to the preaching of God's Word from Haven Heights Baptist Church with Pastor Lance Wise. If you're looking for a church home, consider joining us on Sundays at 10:30 for worship, Sunday school at 9:30. For more information, find us at havenheightsbaptist.org or see us on Facebook.